It doesn't matter, Rara. And he was, it's the Rivosh in Reish Ayin Aleph that he's quoting here. He learns from that Yerushalmi that we had of the idea of the crushing, that the first part of the Yerushalmi is he learning from. That if a person was zeicha to any position of authority or any position of kedima, very interesting, he compares the two. Ein noiklan oisai mimenu mikevon shekvar zocha ba. Right? So he says, the second story of the Yerushalmi. He says that's because he's comparing an Amma Aretz to a Talmud Chacham. And there's no question that the Talmud Chacham has kedima. Aval, what if the first one is a Talmud Chacham himself? Right? Kol shehechzik ba Talmud Chacham. Ein misalken oisai mimenu. So what's of course, why should you? Even if the second one is bigger in Torah, a bigger Torah cannot displace a lesser Torah. And that's, I was thinking that that's exactly what I was trying to say before about the Kroshim. Because essentially, once you're a master of Torah, to compare and to be Boidik, this one's tzitzis versus that one, that's not Negeya anymore. Because it's either way Kavadat Torah. And the Gemara did not say Talmud Chacham Gadol in Yehoriyos Kaidim LeTalmud Chacham Katan. There's no such Gemara. The Gemara is speaking about Talmud Chacham versus Am Ha'aretz. Once the person is a Talmud Chacham, you may have various other halachas. Is he your Rebbe? Is he not your Rebbe? Would that be covered? And so on. But Be'etzem, Torah on a certain level and Torah on a higher level, you don't give the kedima to the one on the higher level in the same way that you don't give one keresh more than the other. Once, therefore, he was zeicha, even though he's a lesser Talmud Chacham, he cannot be displaced even if a bigger Talmud Chacham arrives. Interesting. And then he says, there's another raya. Mistayeya mibnei b'seira, another famous Gemara in Sochim, shebishvil shemasru hanesius lehillel, sheyagodl mehem, Karoun and Visonin. There was tremendous proof that they were possessed of unusual anova, unbelievable humility. Why? Because they handed over the Nesius lock, stock, and barrel to Hillel. Now, no one is denying that Hillel was bigger than that. So what is the great Anvisonus over here? They had to. They were mechuyev to. The Teretz says, no, they were not mechuyev to. And actually, they were entitled to remain in the Nesius. Because they were also Talmidei Chachamim, even though not on the Madrega necessarily of Hillel. So since they were Talmidei Chachamim, they should have kept their zchus. The fact that on their own they were willing to be Mavid, the Nesius, to Hillel, is a tremendous, tremendous proof of their extraordinary humility. And the Goyin in Simon Reish Mem Hei in Yerideya makes the point of the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says in Ksubis in the name of Rebbe, who was a descendant, of course, of whom? Of Hillel. So he said that I also possess such midos, but I have to admit that at that much I would not be able to do what the B'nai B'seira did to give over the Nesius to Hillel. So that's also a raya, that it's a dover mechudosh, a dover ma'oid musadik, but not necessarily halacha. The halacha is that they remain because they are Talmidei Chacham. One second. I just want to finish one this paragraph. So the Rivosh is v'chachomim afal pisha roi lohem livroyach min hasrara. He says chachomim in general, what do they need srara for? Babo kishenismanu ba. Right? And he quotes a Gemara at the end of Maseches Menachos that he said, before I reached the Madrega of Svar of Authority, somebody would have said, why don't you take that position? I would have been very, very upset with him. I would have tied him up and put him in front of the lion to eat him up. But now, if somebody that I got the Svara, somebody tells me to give it up, then animatal alav kumkum shalchamin, I would pour a whole coffee urn of hot water on his head. So what is going on over here in this Chazal Bichlal? What does it mean? Mitchila, Achshav. It sounds very much like I got used to it and I enjoy it and I'm very happy with it. And I certainly am not about to give it up. It's mamish punkfakelt. Chazal say, Shema Toimu Srora Ani Noisim Lachem Abdus Ani Matulchem. I give you not Srora but Abdus. The Gemara says, it's a medrash actually, on the Pasuk in Kehelis. V'hasova lo'oshir einenu maniach lo'y lishayim. It says, Mesuka shnasa oved. Sweet is the sleep of the person that toils. And hasova lo'oshir, and lehefach, a person who's wealthy doesn't have to toil at all. So you'd think that he sleeps perfectly. No. His satiation, his riches, do not allow him to sleep. That pasuk. So, on many levels, you can understand what the pasuk is trying to say. You put in a good hard day of honest work, and you earn your bread. You go to sleep. You sleep soundly. A rich man is worried about this. He's worried about that. He's worried if he's rich enough. He's worried about losing his riches. He's worried about the government coming and taking it away. Who knows, whatever. And since he doesn't work so hard, he's not so exhausted, so his sleep is always troubled. That's the Poshup Shah. Comes a Medrash and it's a Meyudik Medrash. The Medrash speaks about Rebbe Yehuda HaNossi. He was the Nossi. That's what we're talking about. A Nossi. So it says that he was Isaac B'tzarchet Sibir. So he asked one of his servants, please fetch me a cup of water. He came and he brought the water. And just at that moment, Rebbe was too torrid with his tarchei tzibur to drink the water. So he put the water down, and now the Eved is doing nothing. He's waiting. So he fell asleep. Adohochi, v'ochi isnam nemavda. Kora le Rebbe, mesuka shnas ha'oived, v'asova lo'osha enenu maniach lo'ilishan. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, when a person is oisik b'tzarchei tzibur, which is, of course, the purpose of the Nasi to begin with, and really the purpose of every Rav. Like Reb Chaim Britzke said, what's the Iker Tafkid of a Rav? To do Chesed. That's the Tafkid of a Rav. So if you are obligated to do Chesed, and you are immersed in Chesed, there's never a free moment 24-7. And Memela, that's Sova La'oshir. Sava, because it's full of responsibility and full of schar. So he's an oshir, but he doesn't have a second to breathe, and he cannot certainly fall asleep. But the eved, you have one fixed tafkid. Nobody's bothering you right now. It's all right. Geishlof. So that's mesuka shnasa eved v'asava l'oshir. I always touched up. Very interesting. We say in after Yikum Purkan, we have a Misha Berach, right? And at the end of that Misha Berach, we say, Kol Misha Oiskim B'Tzorchei Tzibur Be'amuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishalim Schoam, to which everybody quips because nobody else will. Right? But look at the next words. Very, very interesting. V'yosem Mehem Kol Machlo, V'yirpa L'chol Gufam, V'yislach L'chol Avon. And I asked the question many, many times. You never find a condemnation of any particular group of Yidin. What do you mean, Yislach L'chol Avonim? How do you know they have Averus? See, when we say Slach L'chol Avinu Kichatonu in the plural, first of all, we mean me. You're not supposed to ask only for yourself. But you're not singling any particular type of Jew out. Rabbanu Shalom, we get up to, for example, Rabbanu Shalom, please forgive all of the tailors. Rabbanu Shalom, please forgive all the tailors. Mecha teisa tailors do averus. What do you mean, forgive all the tailors? So some of Farshim say, some say, that because ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yechta, once you're starting doing for others, somebody comes in and he has a tzara. What's his tzara? His wife is panicking him. He has a tzara. For 20 minutes, he listens to Lashon Hara about the guy's wife. No, memeg, memegnish, tayeles, not so poshut. And on and on and on. So if that's the case, ain't sadik boretz asher yaseh toiv. If you want, what is the famous maisa with the Dubna Magid and the Vilna Goyin? The Vilna Goyin asked the Dubna Magid many times to give him musar, and the Dubna Magid said, I give you Goyin musar. And he insisted on it. So the Vilna Goyin
is listening to the Musa of the Dubna Maggid. The Dubna Maggid said, you think it's a trick, a kunz, to be able to sit in your sequestered Dalet Amis with the window shuttered from the rest of the world, separate and apart from everything, and to sit and learn by Smada Atzuma, go out in the world and be the Vilna Goyim. So he started to cry, Azay Zuckman, that the Goyim started to cry, and he answered, you're right, aber ich bin nicht kein Kunzenmacher, I'm not a magician. I can't perform such a trick. So, Ein Sadik Ba'aretz, Asher Yase Toivu Lo Yechta. If that's the case, we say, V'yislach L'chol Avonim. It's a good teretz. But I asked another kasha, and I have a different teretz on this kasha. The other kasha is, in the Shemoyne Esrei, we have Slach Lono Avinu, and then we have afterwards Refuah, before Einu Hashem, correct? Here it says, HaKadosh Baruch Yishan Tzchorom, V'yosem Mehem Kol Machlo, V'yopo L'chol Gufam, and then it says, V'yislach L'chol Avonim. How come? So I wanted to answer both kashas. They're not tifa kashas, and I'm sure that you could eat the chont after the meal very nicely without worrying about these kashas when you get home after musaf. But lemaisa, I have a nice thing to say about it. There's one aveira. Sometimes aveiras are terrible, terrible deeds which damage the reputation of the person, and it's terrible lashon hara to talk about a person in this way. Somebody is a noyev, somebody is a gazlan, I mean, who knows what. Sometimes there are certain kinds of averis, ironically, there are certain kinds of averis that are actually a badge of honor. A person could be proud that he did such an avera. My high. There's one avera that every real oisik b'tzarchei tzibur be'emuna, emphasize the word be'emuna, with absolute fidelity, right? Is over. You know what that is? V'nishmarta miyod l'nafshe seichem. I'm serious. Now, I just want to make me'inyan le'inyan. I hope you'll be able to handle all of this. But sometimes I go, you know. But I want to make a ha'ara, which is important. Because we say this all the time. And I think according to the Rambam, it's a mistake. What do I mean? We say if a person goes out and he might catch a cold. Now, nobody thinks that from that cold somebody's going to have his, Rachmana Litzlan, his demise. But the cold, you know, you'll be in bed, you'll be out of work, you won't be productive, you won't be able to learn. Put on a scarf, you know, take an umbrella, right? So somebody, the kid says, daf is nisht. So what do you yell out? What pasuk? V'nishmartem le'od l'nafshe seichem. People say ushmartem, so the Bali Diktuk say there's no such pasuk ushmartem, it's v'nishmartem, fine and loyal. So they say, V'nishmata miyod l'nafshei seichem, correct? The Rambam would not use this pasuk. You know why? Because the Rambam has, he doesn't actually use this pasuk, but it's the same thing. He has, Hishom l'cho shmor nafshecho miyod. Doesn't matter. That's not my nekuda. My nekuda is that shmiras ha-nefesh in the Rambam, interestingly enough, comes in Hilchos Reitzeach. You know why? Because the whole of the pasuk is only when a person's life is b'sakana. For example, if a person is in a freezing element, half naked, and there's a possibility that he'll freeze to death, then he's over on v'nishmarta miyod l'nafshei seichem, because his nefesh is being threatened. And that's why that same pasuk, Yisham l'choshma nafshecha, ki'ilu mischayev v'nafshay, if he forgets Torah, etc. Why? Because the idea of what? Of shmiras ha-nefesh is you give up your life. So let me ask you the following question. What if a person knows that what he's doing now is going to weaken him, it's going to slow him down, but he's not going to lose his life from it? It's not poison. It's just going to give him an upset stomach. Yeah? So, are you allowed to do that or not? The answer is no. But not because of Nishmat Miyod L'Nafshe Seichem. Why not then? The Rambam in Hilchos Deis, when he tells you that you have to be perfectly fit physically, because everyone knows, says the Rambam, that if you're not physically fit, it's impossible to serve the Ribbon Shlolem, and you're weak and debilitated, because it requires strength, it requires Stamina, it requires that you should have all of your faculties. So therefore, what are you oiver? You're oiver on the halacha of being ready to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're oiver on lava that's Hashem alikecha, right? V'chol drachecha da'eyu, you're oiver. But you're not oiver on what? On nishmat ha'mod l'nafshesechem. And in Hilchos Deis, you will never find the nishmat ha'mod l'nafshesechem or anything like it. Where will you find it? In Hilchos Reitzeach u'shmiras nefesh, where he puts the halacha, you're not allowed to kill anybody else, nor are you allowed to bring about, you're not allowed to commit suicide, and you're not allowed to bring about your own sakana. Sakana's nefashis. So when we speak about pikuach nefesh, sakana's nefashis, that's nishmat ha'mod l'nafshesechem. Somebody walks across the highway, and the cars are going like crazy, a person is taka over nishmat ha'mod l'nafshesechem. If somebody doesn't put on his seatbelt, he's over on nishmat ha'mod l'nafshesechem. That's a halacha, by the way, I believe. I believe if a person does not put on his seatbelt, he's over the isur of nishmat ha'mod l'nafshesechem. It's like the din of asisa maike l'gagecha v'leisosim domim v'veisecha. When you put on the maike, it could be a person without the maike would never fall off. But that's the halacha, that you have to have these protective structures to prevent that from even possibly happening. That's exactly what a seatbelt is. Doesn't matter whether it's you or the fellow sitting next to you. And I'll tell you something else. Our arvus is achroi for the other person too. So we have to make sure he puts on the seatbelt. And if he doesn't want to, you say goodbye. You can come go with somebody else's car. That's all. In any case, if there would be something that was much less and not shaykh bichlal that a person should die chas v'sholom, bar minan, then you wouldn't be over in v'shmat amad l'ashesech. So it comes out that you kol misha oiskim b'tzach etzibu b'amuna, I doubt very much that they'll ever come into that aveira, which is v'nishmat amad l'ashesech. But they certainly are guilty of debilitating their bodies and sometimes damaging their health. And a person could live 150 years with damaged health. But nevertheless, he's not functioning properly. Why? Shlofen is nishken shlofen. And the essen is nishken essen. He doesn't eat. He doesn't eat properly. He doesn't sleep properly. Never takes vacations. If it requires him to go into matzavim, circumstances which are debilitating. I remember once I went to visit somebody that was very heavily on drugs. He was totally catatonic, and the only thing in the world that he cared about was his dog. And he had a dog, and the dog was already three quarters, I don't know if you could say the oil of my anus, but you understand, it's a figure of speech. It was three quarters on the other side. And the dog, Nebuch on the dog, and Nebuch on him, and Nebuch on the whole matzav that I want. The stench that came from that dog was noira v'ayim. And I was trying to convince him to give it all up. His brother begged me. It's a long, long arichus of a mice. It's not for now. But the stench got to me, and mamish, I thought, hey, b'kitza, I managed to crawl into the subway and make my way home. And when I got home, I fainted. It's the only time I ever fainted. Except once when I drank 8 ounces of vodka on Simchas Torah. That was when I was very young. Chagavotzach Weizen, I was rather in the shul for the first year. I came Parshas Kisavo. A couple of weeks later, it's already Simchas Torah, you know. And somebody pours an 8-ounce glass of vodka here, Rabbi. And I drank it up in one gulp. So, an hour later, I passed out. And I was zeicha. There were two brothers there that took me home. One of them was a doctor, the other one was a lawyer. But the doctor became my geshvar and a chassid from that mice. I want you to know. You know why? Because in my totally inebriated state, where I was not conscious of anything, when he gave me milk, you know, they give you milk. I made a bracha on the milk, shahak. So he says, that's it, Rabbi, I'm yours. Anyhow, the kids are call me Shaiskin Batzoch Tsiba Bamuna, Hakadish Boch, Yishan's Kom, Yosemen Komachla. Which machla? Because they're debilitated. They can't function properly. Because Hasovaloshivainenumaniakloilishoin. And the sleeping is not sleeping, and the drinking is not drinking, the eating is not eating. You don't live a life. And the male you don't take care of yourself. So Hakadish Bochu. And Isin Layoyev Kayach, it's true, but in terms of their achrayas to their own bodies, they're over and aveira. they're not taking care of themselves. And the Mela, we say, which Aveira? The one that comes from not taking care of themselves so they could get sick. First, I have to daven for their refuah. And then I say, V'yosimem komachla, V'yiblach ha'gufam, and the yislach ha'chol avoinam, that they got into such a matzav because they didn't take care of themselves. And why are we allowed to say it? Because it's really a tremendous badge of honor. Does haste, srora be Yisrael. That's what he meant. Took me a while to get to it, but that's what he meant over here. He says, at the beginning, I thought to myself, srora, that's authority, that's lording it over people, that's making yourself important and famous. It's the terrible thing. So if anyone tried to get me involved in Sroah before I understood what it really is, then I would have taken him, tied him up, and put him in front of a lion to gobble him up. That's how upset I would be. But now that I understand what Sroah is, that it's Avdus, and it's the most wonderful thing a person could do, that he's an Eved La'Avdei Hashem, that he's a servant of Klal Yisrael, that nobody could dare take it away from me. Because how can you take away from me such a gvaldik matana that I can help day and night other Yidden? That's what it means in this Chazal. But the Kitzur, what does he learn from the Chazal? That once the person was zeichet to the Srora, you're not supposed to give it to anybody else. So now, it's very interesting. Where does he start out from? From the Yerushalmi, right? You have to understand, Yerushalmi has nothing to do with Srora at all. It has to do with covet. Kedima and covet. It's a different story entirely. Now, what's the difference? Because Svara is a position. And a position, you could ask the following question. If this person is more worthy of the position, and he'll do a better job in the position, what shaykh to say that the other one has his chus coming first? So it should be measured by whether the second one has more potential to achieve than the first. And that should be your only consideration. What does it mean that he has that thing? Very, very important question. So, he has, he writes, Yisoidei shel harivosh midivrei Yerushalmi oimid bedakfai. The Tzitz Eliezer likes it very much. V'lemeidim anu misham shafilu rab shehechzik v'sroa me'atzmai osu l'sheni lovoi begvulai. Okay. Now, you have another consideration here also. And this is the next consideration that he brings up. What kind of parnasa is the first Rav making when another Rav wants to move into town? So if you look at this on your own, you'll see that there are really two different perspectives or two different stories that could be. One of them is that he is hired and he's given a salary. And it's much more chomer in such a case to try to move in and muscle in on his territory, as it were. The other scenario is where he doesn't get a salary in the normal sense, but he is receiving various...
Gratuities.
Exactly. A person is a Masada Kedushin. So, you know, you go to be Masada Kedushin, you don't say, my fee is $500. You go and be Masada the Kedushin. Sometimes the Baal Simcha says to himself, I mutchered the Rav and I schlepped him here and I'm paying for the band and I'm paying for the photography and I'm paying for this and I'm paying for that. I shouldn't give him also something. So he goes and he writes a check for But he writes a check for $200, $500, whatever it is. But Lamaisa, there are sometimes Masada the Kedushin, it's about the cover for the Rav. I have to give him something besides. You know, so yesh v'yesh. Yesh v'yesh. I remember once I was in the mountains and a Talmud of mine asked me to come and be the Kayin for Pidyon HaBen. And I shouldn't have taken it because his Shver was a wealthy man. It's never kedai to start up with these people. but I decided, Chmein HaRab Talmud, Chabim Lib, it's his first child. Pidyon HaBen is always by the first child, you should know. So it's the first child and it's a big simcha by him. Yichugay. That took me hours to get there, somewhere in the Echmeis, in the Queens, and whatever. And I, from the Catskills, from Woodburn, Ibn Gegangen, Ibn Gelofen, I had to be the Fishachris. I left very early in the morning. And because I come, I do the Pidyon HaBen. He gives me the Chamesh Tloyim. Afterwards, the father-in-law comes over to me and says, he would like to have the Tloyim back. So
So I'm saying to myself, that's wonderful, you know. Now he's going to give me a big check. You know, that's what always happens. Anyhow, the Shlomo Friedrich gave him the check I never saw, and I still think the bein is part of Yalpi Halacha.
I'm not positive, but I think so. Anyhow, the kitzur, the Utvish Teshuri is, these are called gratuities. These are gratuities. This is not a salary. There's no such thing. Nish. And besides, it's small things. So they used to get all kinds of gratuities. But the kitzur, there's a tremendous difference lahalacha. Listen to this Rama, it's very famous. You know the famous expression that there's no hasagas gvul by Talmud Torah. You aware of that? So what does that mean exactly?
Kinasai from Tar B'Chochma.
Yeah, kinasai from Tar B'Chochma. That's the Makar. So listen to the Rama. He paskins in the name of the Marivayel and the Marai. Sherav ha-yoshev be'ir v'loimid l'rabim is a Rav, and he's teaching, he's machzik in the Rabbanus, and he's teaching the Tzibur, loimid l'rabim. It means, in other words, not a person that's sitting privately in his house and he sits and learns. That doesn't mean anything. He's a Rav. He's a Rav b'Yisrael. Yochel chocham acher lovoy lilmoy gam ken shom. Afilu mikapeach kitzas parnosas harishoin. Kegoin shakol kiblu harishon aleim l'rav. They gave him a ksav rabbonus. The noital pras mehem alzeh, and he receives what you call in Yiddish a baloinung. He gets a pras, a reward. But what does that reward mean? That's what I was talking about a moment ago. Afilu hachi yochol hasheni lovoi ladur sham ulahachzik rabbonus b'chol dova k'mo harishon im hu gadol v'ro'ui l'kach. So it doesn't say he's bigger, it doesn't say that you have to give them both a bechina, but if he's shaykh to be a rav, he's permitted to come. What is the principle? Kina soifrim tar b'chochma. Okay? How do they explain to Yerushalmi if that's the case? So first of all, it doesn't say that one has kedima over the other. It's just that if one is already there, can the second one come?
It's not hasagas gvul.
That's a shayl of hasagas gvul. It has nothing to do with the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi, so he says, furthermore, what else? This is Torah and Torah. Torah and Torah is kinasai from Tar B'Chochma. There, it wasn't a shail of Torah and Torah. It was all whether you come first to the Nasi or you come afterwards to the Nasi. What is that? That's Kavod Ba'alma. So Kavod Ba'alma has nothing to do with this topic. Because this topic is Bedafka, he's Marba Torah be Yisrael, the other one will be Marba Torah be Yisrael. If both of them are there, they'll compete with one another, and each one will try to give a better shiur, and give more Torah to the people, and spend more time with them, v'chulei v'chulei. So this is kinasai from Tar B'Chochma. So it's a competition in Torah. It isn't the question who gets more covered. That's the point. Now, so he writes, so he says, that's the difference. What if you have room for one Rav and you don't need another Rav? And this person was the Rav and someone else comes. The other person you can't stop from coming because kinasai from Tar B'Chochma. But you can't send the first one away either because he was already muchzik and toifis in that srara. So the rivash is not a stira to this, and this is not a stira to the rivash. But you see, there's a very interesting thing here. Let's go back to the point that I made a moment ago. What does that mean? Uvein gets a job, he becomes the rav of a certain kehila, and the people pay him a salary for the rabbonus, and the salary for the rabbonus, with that he's mefarnes his family totally. That's his parnasa. Shimon wants to come and he wants to open up a little beis medrash nearby, and he tainis, I also need a parnasa and I also have what to offer, and then he relies on the Ramah, kinas soifrim tar b'chokma. Yes or no? The answer is no. Pella de Gazach. Take a look inside. First, he quotes a Mabit. The Mabit says, "Adva kihilo shereitzim litzarif talmid chokham acher l'rishon boki yoser mimenu upaschu lasheni base knesses miyuchad." They opened up another base medrash for the second rav. So, is that okay or not? And if we find that this one is better than the first Rav, maybe we don't need the first Rav anymore. V'heishiv, she'ein l'shum echad min hakol, afilu me'oysam shaloi chosmu, even those who didn't sign the Ksav Rabbonis for the first one, l'havir sarishayim, v'loi l'shatev talmud chocham acher imay. So lo l'havir sarishayim, that's the rivash, he has a chazokah. But what about the second one? Second one you should let in, kinas seifrim tarba chokma. He says, no. V'lo l'shatev talmud chokham acher. The cave on the eskimu rashi ekol limnoisei al akol. Einam rashayim la'aviroi oylimnes acher imo shaloi midaitoi. Unless the first one gives permission. Unless he says there's room for both of us and I need help. Shedin hu shemisha olu l'mayla achas lo yeyrei. Shegdoi lo chazoka min ha-toyro. Ukmoi. She'enam yecholim la'aviroi. So he asks on himself, Meila, you can't send the first one away and be replaced completely by the second one. But maybe you could have both of them. So he says, no. K'mo she'enam yecholim la'aviroi, kein enam yecholim l'shatif acha imoi, k'moi, just like the halacha says by Melech, d'chsif soim tosim alecha Melech, Melech v'loi shnayim. U'mimenu anu loimdim l'shar sroreis, she'dabor, that's Dalid with a patach and a hard base. Dabor echod lador v'lo shnayim. This expression in the Mabit is not his own. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, famous Gemara that says that there was a machloikas between Moshe and the Ribbono Shel Olam about how Yehoshua should treat the people. So it says in one pasuk, Ki atot tovoi esa amazeh, and the other one it says, Ki atot tovi esa amazeh. And tovoi is mashma with others. So who are the others? The Zekanim. Yehoshua and the Zekanim. Tovi means just you, without the Zekanim. So it says there that Yehoshua without the Zekanim is better because dabar echad lador v'lo shnei dabar. You can't have many manhigim because there's no focus, and if one manhig says one thing, they'll run to the other one, and so on and so forth. Don't ask me any questions now about what goes on. Zman hazeh. So how do you reconcile the Ramah with the Mabit Lamaisa, right? So it says here that there may be a difference when there's a minui of the tzibur of the Rav, as opposed to a Rav simply moving in, and he's there, and he gets whatever gifts people give him, whatever gratuities. So then you say, kinasai from tarba chochma, that someone else can also come in. But if you hire a Rav, and you appoint him as a Rav, then you're making him your melech ke'ilu, you cannot have another Rav come in. And that's what the Mabit is talking about. And he writes, and the Ramah writes, what happens not only if there's no interference with his parnasa, because all these little things, the first one's going to keep getting anyhow. What happens if he is mekapeach kitzas? What does kitzas mean? We don't know exactly how much is kitzas. But it means that instead of 100% gratuities, 20% of the gratuities will now go to the second one. And he'll only have 80% of the gratuities. Maybe that's called mekapeach tzas. But in this particular case, we're not talking, says the Tzitz Eliezer, about somebody who has gratuities. We're talking about somebody who's parnosa, salaried parnosa. Like today, you have two kinds of rabbon. You have rabbonim that have positions that they're hired for, and they're paid. Sometimes they are paid extremely well. That's called reform. And sometimes they're hardly paid at all. Yeah. But Lamaisa, it's rather getting better, you should know. It's getting better. The reform are getting paid less because they have nobody to talk to. And the Orthodox are getting paid more because there's a certain sensitivity that a person from Vestbecken has to have a shtickle living wage. So, but there used to be a time when a Rav used to get bubkis. But it's a salary. He gets a check in the mail every month or every 2 weeks, and that's a salary. That's what he lives on. In such a circumstance, that's not called mekapeach tzas, because they can't handle paying two rabbonim. So whatever they give to the second Rav is taking bread out of the mouth of the first one. In such a case, you are not allowed to enter. because you're messing up his parnasa entirely. So it really depends on the following. Now there are other rabbonim who want the rabbonus, or who have independent sources of income, or who stam have this idea that they can live on air, but whatever it is, they don't take a salary altogether. So if such a person is not being mekapeach on the one hand, but on the other hand he is. Why? Because the source of income of the first Rav has to do with the number of people that he has. So you have an example like this. There's a certain kehillah, I can't say obviously in which neighborhood, but it's not in our neighborhood, and the Rav was hired, and he got a shtela, and he's a tough Rav. He's a very sincere Rav. And there's no talking, and there's no bother mises, and he insists that they should come and learn. You know, very much like our base medrash over here. And somebody came in, opened up a shtibel, came out across the street. You can talk as much as you want. My pleasure.
And children.
And you know him? And Cholent. And Cholent, listen to this. The president of the first shul, or the biggest machadir, went to the other place. So he asks him, why did you do that? The Rav of the first shul asks him, why did you do that? So he says, I'll tell you the truth. I came in there during the week, and the Rebbe, Bechvayde V'atzmei, says, would you like a cup of coffee? I'll make you a cup of coffee. He says, somebody makes me a cup of coffee. I like that. Pella dikazach. It's mamish a pella. That's a nezid adashim. That is a nezid adashim. If I keep the ganze b'choyrefa nezid adashim. Pille ployim. Anyhow, b'kitzer, it doesn't mean necessarily that the second one gets a salary, and the salary therefore is divided by two. Sometimes the second one doesn't even have to get a salary. But the oilam is already knighted towards him. So the sources of income, the gevirim, go away. They don't have what to pay the first one with. It's also no good. The Ramo was not talking about a situation where the parnasa of the first one is threatened. It's only mekapeach kitzas. Whatever kitzas means, it means he can still live and function. So this is what he says over here, the following. And this is not his Torah, that's it's Eliezer. This is a famous Chassam Sefer Tshuva in Yerideya Simen Lamed. Very important Tshuva in these Inyonim. It's quoted very often. It says, if you look at the words of the Mari and the Marivail, Ki ein elu ne'morim ela b'yemehem, Shaloi kiblu harav b'poyol. They didn't hire a rav. That's what he means, kiblu harav b'poyol. They didn't hire a rav. They didn't come to another town with a ksav rabbonus and hand it to him and say, you are our rav and this is what we are paying you. How did the rav get there? How did he become a rav? He was a Talmud Chacham. He was sitting and learning basmada. He had Talmidim. And the Olam gathered around him. And before you know it, he's their rav. So it says, Kol Talmud Chacham, Hinhig b'nei Iroi Shehoya Darsham. Wherever he lived, he was, by virtue of the greatness of Torah, he became the Rav. Umimela. So what, did he get anything from the Kehillah? He says, yeah, he used to get these gratuities. Memela hayule pras hakotz of mechupos, the kedushin, just like I told you before, the chadoyme. Kivan shaloi hiskiru kapayo, el shvocha da asya memela. Very interesting expression. Shvocha da asya megufa, shvocha da asya memela. But he means, since they're not giving him a salary, and these are just gratuities that even the IRS might differentiate between a regular salary and gratuities, so it may be yes, maybe no, but there's a difference. What happens if another person does exactly the same thing that the first one does? He shows up, like the first one did a number of years before, and now he's also a Rav. Right? Who can stop him? And again, it's because you go out and you hire a Rav and he moves from Minneapolis to Flatbush. You're hiring a Rav. So and they give him a specific salary,
And besayach oisah kitzvah, included in the salary, are the gratuities which kind of complement the salary and flesh it out and make it a little bit more substantial. Right? So those, they tell the person, you're going to make $50,000 a year, gelt. And besides that, I guarantee you that the tips that, quote-unquote, those kind of things that you get, these gratuities, you'll get when you're Masad the Kiddushin, Chas Hashem Lehefech, Bar Minan, there's a Levaya, there's this, there's that, people like you, they'll give you Van Purim, they'll give you An Chanukah, Mechiras Chametz, and before you know it, the $50,000 salary will be $50,500. it'll be substantial. So anyhow, whatever it is, he says, in such a case, you're not allowed to go and open up shop against him. In spite of the Rambam. You hear what he's saying? The Chassam Sofer. B'zman hazeh shemekablim rav oikad nirosim mekoyim abolakan. The kotzim lez chirusik moshe sorchim poil. The elev who knows it's nafshay v'nafshay is beisa. He counts on it. He depends on it. He doesn't have any independent sources of income. U'betoichoy sakitzvah huskorim mechupas v'kidushim v'gitim v'kadoyme. Im kein poshut. Shababik vuloi loy toiv osa be'amov v'gora. And he's worse, he writes, because umnus is hefker l'shezebov yoshev etzidai. Avol hocha kvar hechzik harav b'chol ravchid davidid osi b'vulay. V'osim mamish l'shumadu mekaper panasasi b'zeh. It's a very remarkable thing Chassam Sofer says, which deserves elaboration. He says, what happens in regular hasagas gvul? I have a tailor shop. I have a laundry. Cleaners, a dry cleaners. I have the right to anticipate a certain amount of volume because I'm the only show in town. I have a right. But do I have a mortgage on that business? No. Do, is there some sort of expectation that everybody has that they must use him at all costs? No. It's just, why should I go to another town for the dry cleaners? I go to him because he's next door. Now, what happens if another dry cleaners moves in right next door to him? So I'm not going into the halachas of Hasagas Gvul right now. But I mean to say, you're not allowed to do it. Why? Because you're damaging his panosa. Does he have any guarantee, meirosh, that he's going to get X, Y, or Z? Of course not. But his expectation comes from the fact that he knows how many people are here, and how much it costs to press a suit, how much he charges, and he makes a cheshbon. That's how he makes his panosa. Now, he's going to have to divide that by 50%. He's not going to have a panosa. Hasagas gvul. He says, here it's much worse, because the Rav has almost a mortgage on these extras, because the extras are part of what everybody expects the Rav to get. Not only what the Rav has in his cheshbon, but what the people have in their cheshbon. And so, exactly right. The Chassam Sofer takes this to such an extent that it's much worse than Stam Hasagas Gvul, that he says the second Rav, the minute he gets one of those gratuities that was supposed to originally go to the first Rav, it's mamish like he's a gazlan. An unbelievably strong lashon. Exactly right, Rabbi. Exactly right. Harehu kegozlo. The next chelik, which I don't want to really to go into, because just you have it for yourselves for the future, is this inyan of the chazaka going to the next generation. So, which was the original topic, but my concern is the Yerushalmi Yekarehi Mipninim, and that Yerushalmi Baruch Hashem, we learned the two halakim of the Yerushalmi and the difference between the two, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan's statement Yekarehi Mipninim applies not just to inyanim of Hachyosai, but inyanim of Kavod. And then there's the Rivash that isn't an inyan of Kavod, but it's halach of Talmud Chacham is Kaveya, that he's kavur in his makim, and then of course the Ramah. Mekapech Tzchas is okay because Talmud Chochem and Talmud Chochem is different Talmud Chochem and Amoritz. It's not an Indian of Kedima, it's an Indian of competition, right? Concurrence, as they say, and that competition is Marbe Chochma. Just want to point out a very interesting thing on the expression Kinasaykh Talmud Chochma. There's a Marsha. The Marsha says Ein Hochanami, it's Marbe Chochma, but it's not on the highest madrig. Once a person becomes a chacham, there should not be kina at all. Very interesting. The Masha doesn't like the idea of kina suffering. Competition.
Of course, for competition, you know, there's something called cutthroat competition. You know, competition. I am. What did Reb Baruch Ber say? A mayor de kashem is a very simple point, but you have to be in it to appreciate it. He says, "Kavod haTorah is not when I come into my yeshiva or my beis medrash and I see such an unbelievable island, beautiful, sochmam hashem bedevelt, in the middle of the morning, sishim bal the midday." So you see such a thing, you see a mismali. Ah, what a kavod haTorah. Said the Birka Shmuel, I walk into my own beis medrash, his own yeshiva in Kamenitz, and I say, oi, what a beautiful thing, kavod haTorah. He says, that's not kavod haTorah. Kavod haTorah you have when you walk into other Rosh Yeshiva's beis medrash, and you see it's gevaldik, and you say, oh, is that wonderful? That's kavod haTorah. Because in other words, it's not yours, and maybe it's competition, and maybe they'll take away a couple of Talmidim from you, and Afal Pikein, you're willing to say, what a beautiful display of Avas Hashem, and Avas Teirotzai, Dosei Stemis HaKavod HaTorah. So that's what the Baal Shah is saying. Kina Seferim is only the middle level, and it's Takemar B'Chochma, but it's not the highest level. The highest level is when you make Sekina Milibai in Gansi. Okay?